I met this great guy, Gary Window. He's dead now, bless his soul. They called him the sax giant. He was this brilliant saxophone player, little English guy. Used to play with the Psychedelic Furs. You can Google him, actually, and you must. Like, he's an amazing sax player, alto sax. Anyway, so he was going out with this, and later married this woman named Siobhan Hunter, S-I-O-B-A-H-N. Hunter, she was actually cousins of Liberace. Yes, that's how I met Liberace. Sat on his lap and took his big old piano ring off his finger. This was in the green room of Saturday Night Live, and he said to his driver, I can't remember his name now, you know, the one that had the palimony suit, whatever. Arthur, whatever his name was. Isn't she wonderful? I had the big, crazy blonde mohawk at the time. So, Siobhan, her real name was Ellen, I guess. And Gary, lived on a barge with the Duchess Ronnie, no joke, and her 20 dogs on a barge in the river in Kingston. Oh, God. She had the monks from China who had escaped. She was sponsoring them. She had gotten them jackets, the tour, the monks on tour. Oh, I was living with 20 dogs and the monks and the bilge on the barge. It was insane. But I was having sex with Ellen and Gary in the barge with the monks and the dogs. Oh, yeah. And Gary got me a job for Todd Rundgren. Has the nanny for Rex and Randy, his two sons, and his lesbian wife, Bean, who's pregnant with Randy. No, Rex. Oh, God, I don't know. Google it. They're children. So I lived in the guest house, which was a farmhouse. He lived in the wacky house on the hill, and in between there was a funky place that was a studio, and so I also was a chef and bottle washer, and I cooked and cleaned for Flock of Seagulls and the Tubes and fuck all, I don't know, lots of different bands that I did stuff for. And, yeah, so I did that. I lived with Swarupa and Gopal. They were with the, they were not Moonies. They were something. They were from India. Their name were Ken and Christine Brown. But they were Swarupa and Gopal. They bought fabrics from India. Oh, my fucking God. Oh, and also, Chivo, who's still kind of like a brother. His father was Joel, who was Super Joel in the 70s. If you look him up, he sold acid with Timothy Leary and everybody in this. He had a jet. He got his arm stuck in the toilet one time. Came out blue. His private jet. He dropped his fucking his freebase down there, but he was selling like the best acid to all the rock stars, like Andy Warhol and all those people. Oh, God. Yeah, I rolled with the bees back then. Oh, Todd didn't like me much. We didn't really speak. But I was actually assistant tour manager. I had to smack his fucking manager. I had to smack his manager in the face at the Palace Theater in Hollywood because we were getting thrown off stage. I was assistant tour manager for the a cappella tour. 13 fucking singers. I had to diaper. Oh, God. I'd never even been out of fucking Columbia County at this point. I'd never been to California. But basically, it all started... Oh, Jesus. Gary and Ellen got me into the porn thing because I was sleeping with them. I was fucking them. And at one point, Gary and Ellen said to me... We noticed you like girls. Oh, God, even before this. Wait. Again. Stop. Rewind. Gary said, I think my wife would like you. And I was so afraid because back again, rewind, when I was with Scott, I had read his, I found some penthouses and I really wanted him to love me. And I saw, and I'd been beat up back in high school. Because they had called me queer. I didn't know what it meant, but whatever. And so then this Gary said, I think you'd like my wife. And I thought, well, maybe he just means she wants to take me shopping. I don't know. And so this was straight out of like an 80s fucking bad video when MTV came about. But I was on the dance floor and this... very tall, Irish, redheadish, small-breasted, wearing, I swear to Christ, and a Catholic schoolgirl skirt with a white button-down shirt and the tie, but everything unbuttoned and askew. And there was... I'm not lying, dry ice and, you know, the whole thing, you know, lights flashing, 288 Lark Street, I think, you know, like, the saxophone was playing, you know, I don't know, and the dance floor parted, and I'm wearing combat boots and tights and a man's suit coat with nothing. I had no boobs, you know, nothing underneath, very androgynous. And she came walking at me and the smoke and the crowd, everything parted. And she came at me and she... just kind of bent me over. You know, it was one of those long, slow movie kisses. I thought she wanted to go shopping. And, yeah, I moved in with them. You know, I was playing house with girls when I was 10, playing the husband wearing my great-grandfather's fedora. Smoking my grandmother's cigarettes, and we would have to fold the bedding, and each fold they would have to kiss me, and you know, until one day they wouldn't come over anymore, and then they were calling me queer, and then later I was being beaten in the woods and called fag and queer. I'd never heard those words and didn't know what they meant, you know. And And people, you know, girls stopped hanging out with me. And then the boys wanted to hang out with me. And, you know, I had had some... I had been treated, let's say, as a plaything by family. Well, shit, it's in print already. Google it, you'll find it. I had been raped by an uncle at 6, which I didn't remember at all until I was 19, when I was with this Scott. I never said his name, but this, you know, person, Scott person, whatever, this 30-year-old, which was like a dream. I was fucking just watching TV. I was alone, locked in the house. He used to lock me in the house with the drugs and go away for a week at a time. With no telephone, no nothing. It would just be me, the drugs, and a sawed-off shotgun. You know, no one allowed in, no one allowed out. And no telephone. So I was just watching. It could have been a fucking Taco Bell commercial. I don't know. It was just something in the middle of the night. And I was just sitting there. And it all came back to me. Like, what happened was... And it was like... And I just sat up. And I could see it, hear it, smell it, taste it. It was like it had just happened. And I couldn't do anything. I couldn't call anybody. I couldn't tell anybody. There was nothing I could do. It was the first panic attack, I guess, you could call it. It was, what do you do with that, you know? And later, when I tried to tell my mother about it, she kind of blew me off. You know, she was like, no, that couldn't have happened. And I know that my mother was in the other room when it did happen. My mother had sent me into that room to wake him up for pancakes. So she was just in the other room. I could smell the pancakes. I could hear my mother while this was happening. And I was 6. And my brother, who was 4, was in the bunk above me. And so when I said to my mom, I remember this thing. Was this a dream? Did this... It can't be a dream. I remember this happening. And she said, it couldn't have happened. We knew he had a propensity for that type of behavior. So we never left you alone with him. But, anyway... And there's several stories now, you know, of how he did or didn't die. My brother has a terrible conscience with it. My brother has a vision in his head that he shot and killed him as a baby, but, or, you know, as a child, but that didn't happen. That's my brother's dealing with it in his own way. He did not. But I was grateful that a few years ago my brother did tell me that he does know what happened, because he was in the upper bunk. He remembered. He did say, I know you're telling the truth because I was above you. You know, so it was validation. But anyway, blah, 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 sad story, boo-hoo, whatever. Shit happens. So then they tell me Ellen is putting herself through NYU Medical School. I know. I even went to her dorm one time. She said, you could make a lot of money doing this. Besides that, you could have sex with as many beautiful women as you'd like. And my brain just kind of like hit the brakes right there. I went, wait a minute. You mean there's other women that would want to have sex with me? She's like, yes, of course. She's like, of course they're going to want to, Eek. You're beautiful. I said, nobody's going to hurt you. They're not. Nobody's going to beat me up or hit me. No, of course not. I said, and I'm going to get paid? Yes. I said, fuck. Okay, I get. I suppose I ought to see one of these things first, you know. They left me one of Ellen's movies, and I think it was called Pretty Peaches or something. And I put the tape in, and I was, oh my God, my fucking heart was thumping so hard. I put the tape in. I swear to God, it wasn't on 2 minutes, you know, a sex scene. You know, there was some acting, and I was like, oh, it was shot on film. This was film, you know. And there was acting, and I was like, wow, it looked like a soap opera or something. I said, okay, this is great. And all of a sudden, there was like sex happening, and I got so scared. I was looking around like somebody was watching me for sure, and I had to turn it off. I could not. Well, I felt my cheeks getting red and everything. I had to turn it off. But I was just sold at the words, women will want to be with you and you will get paid. I was like, okay, whatever. I'm good with this, you know.